Sometimes wonder how Jesus felt when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He'd been up there on the mountain, he'd been speaking with Moses and Elijah, been perceived in glory, and then he came down into the valley, into the humdrum turmoil of ordinary life. Something of a come down. We recognise that in a sense life is very much full of the humdrum, the ordinary, the less exciting. Otherwise the special wouldn't be special. Last time I spoke here at All Souls, I spoke on Philippians chapter 2, that tremendous passage about Jesus Christ, his entry into the world, his obedient path, and his exaltation to the right hand of God. In a sense, I would say that's a mountaintop passage. I feel somewhat this morning as if I've come down into the valley with a fairly ordinary command of Paul to bear one another's burdens. Just saying it seems somehow heavy and dull, and I must admit I was tempted to put it into practice and get somebody else to give this sermon. But I noticed Kim's not here. And yet, so often in his letters, Paul deals with these very practical things about relationships, about loving one another, about relating properly to one another. His letters are actually full of them, and so he considered it important. And here in this passage in Galatians, do turn to Galatians. Paul is talking about walking in the Spirit. Page 180 in the New Testament section. Paul is talking about walking in the Spirit, and then he puts in this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's not something dull, it's not something heavy, it's part of being filled with the Spirit of God. Part of the law of fellowship that we're thinking about over these Sunday mornings. Part of belonging to the people of God is to bear each other's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We actually have to ask, is Paul right? Is Paul actually right in what he's saying here? Are we to bear one another's burdens? Or are we actually to cast all our cares, all our burdens, onto Jesus Christ? I mean, Paul says bear each other's burdens. Peter says, cast your anxieties upon him, that is Jesus, for he cares for you. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Paul himself, if you look down, chapter 6 and verse 5, says, for each man will have to bear his load. It's a slight confusion about this. What does it all mean? Let me say firstly that it is true, as the old chorus says, that burdens are lifted at Calvary. That Jesus Christ has borne the total burden of our sin and our guilt there at his cross. And if you and I this morning are burdened with sin and guilt, it is to the cross of Jesus Christ that we need to come in total repentance, sorrow, a desire to change. And we are to rest that burden of sin and guilt at the foot of the cross, because it is only in Jesus Christ that we can know forgiveness and the lifting of that burden. But then secondly, along with our sin, along with our guilt, we can bring our anxieties, our concerns, our fears, our temptations, the things which very literally weigh us down, press us down, we can bring them to Jesus Christ. And he will lift them off us. We have to ask how. How is Christ going to lift your burden from you? I think I would want to say that thirdly, most often, he does it through his people. Through those who are around us. Through the church, through the fellowship. When you read Paul's letters, you can't go very far without seeing a name of a friend who was with him on this missionary journey, or who he relied upon to visit him in prison, Timothy, Titus, Epaphras, Luke, and many others. People who got alongside and helped to lift the burden of the task that God had given to Paul, or the pain of the situation in which Paul found himself. And so to speak of bringing our burdens, of casting our anxieties upon Jesus Christ, is not to speak of an isolated Christian life, of me getting on with it with Jesus Christ. To speak of coming to Jesus is to speak of a body activity, of coming and being in Christ, in the fellowship, in the body of Jesus Christ. And so the fourth thing that I'd want to say is that it is better to walk in the light with our Christian friends. Not, as it were, to wait till somehow they see the burden that we have, but actually to be willing to share. I don't think, especially for us English people, that we're very good at doing that. We're often very good at moaning. We're not very good at necessarily sharing the burdens, the things that are weighing us down. But we need to share those burdens, to walk in the light with our brothers and sisters so that they can offer to help lift those burdens from us. And I think we do have to notice the difference between what Paul says in verse 2, where he says, bear one another's burdens, and verse 5, where each man will have to bear his load. He's talking about two different things. The Greek word baros, which means burden, is literally that which weighs us down. That's the word in verse 2. It weighs one down. The word in verse 5 is fortion, and it means a load, and very often was used to describe a person's pack, the pack that you would normally carry yourself and be expected to carry. John Stott puts it like this: we are to bear one another's burdens, which are too heavy for one man to bear alone. But there is one burden which we cannot share, indeed do not need to share, because it's a pack light enough for every person to carry themselves, and that is our responsibility to God on the day of judgment. We can bear our responsibility. We should not bear our burdens alone. We should find support from those around us. And I would want to say to you here this morning that if you've come, I'm sure many have come, bearing burdens, carrying burdens, we're not meant to carry them. We're not meant to bear them on our own. We're meant to share them. And perhaps it might be a good idea that if you have come bearing burdens, and if you've got friends with you, around you in church this morning, that you don't go away without having shared something of the burden which is yours. Just as you sit at the end of the service, sharing with your neighbour something of your burden, praying it through together. And if you've come totally on your own, weighed down by a burden, I think what I'll do at the end of the service, I'll just go and sit over there. And if you want to come and talk and pray with me, I'll be there for a few minutes. But we shouldn't bear our burdens alone. As a fellowship, we bear each other's burdens. But that brings us on to how. How do I find people who will bear my burdens? How do I bear someone else's burdens? Let me just suggest three things to start with. The first thing I think we need to be as a church is body-minded. That is, we need to live our life as Christians aware of other people, aware of those around us. When Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, he was writing to Jewish Christians. Their roots were in Judaism, of belonging to the people of God, of belonging to Israel. It meant something to them to belong. And all the way through the letter, but especially in this passage we've been reading, he's talking to them about belonging. So in chapter 5 and verse 13, at the end of the verse, he says, but through love, be servants of one another. And in the next verse, verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And then verse 26, Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. And chapter 6, verse 10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men and especially to those who are of the household of faith. A group identity, a group awareness. I think we find that difficult. We live in a Western culture which puts an awful lot of stress on individuality, upon me and me alone. And so we find it difficult to think of a group, a feeling that we belong to a group. And even in the church we find that difficult. One of the standard ways of understanding conversion, of becoming a Christian, is saying, well, before I was a Christian, my own self was in control of my life. I lived a self-centered life. But becoming a Christian transfers control to Jesus Christ. So I live a Jesus-centered life. He has control of my life. Now that's the theory. Unfortunately, in practice, something sometimes goes wrong. And we often tend to live a Christ-centered life, but to our own benefit. So whenever we meet with people, it's what we want that still matters. Yes, I like to come together with the rest of the church on Sunday to worship, but I do like to sing the hymns I like, and I like things to be done the way that I like. I like to get together with my fellowship group, but they must hear my point of view and respect that. I want my prayers to be heard, because after all, this is my church. I think it's so easy for the Christian life to be a sort of sanctified selfishness, where nothing's really changed within us. I can still remember when I first moved into a flat in Ealing as a bachelor. Some of the friends from church were already there, and one of the guys said to me as I was moving in, it's great living in a flat together because it knocks the corners off you. And that was true. Living in a flat with three other people had the effect of rubbing edges off. And being in the church has that same effect. We have to learn to get along together. And that means, yes, some of my edges, some of your edges being rubbed off as we learn to live and work together. We have to take account of other people. And the first step in bearing each other's burdens is actually being aware of people around us, being body-minded, not thinking of ourselves. Again here in verse 3, Paul says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." In reality, we are nothing. In God's eyes, we are great. But so is the person sitting next to me, great in God's eyes. They are of inestimable value in God's eyes, and I should be concerned for them and not just for myself. And then secondly, I think we have to be body active as well as body minded. That is, it's not enough to be aware of people, we actually have to be involved with people. Indeed, if you go back to chapter 5 and verse 25, Paul is saying there, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And then he goes on into these practical details. It's almost as if he's saying, look, if you have the Spirit in you, there is no way in which you can do anything other than this. Bear one another's burdens. Who bears your burdens? Who bears your burdens? Whose burdens are you bearing? Paul is saying, if you're living by the Spirit, bear one another's burdens. Whose burdens are you bearing? And who's bearing your burdens? Now, we have to be reasonable because in a church this size, it's not possible to bear everybody's burdens. It's impossible for the ministry team to bear the burdens of everyone. We have to, as it were, break it down into manageable size groups. And so in our situation, to be body active may actually take many forms, but it will all centre around smaller groups than this mass that's here in church this morning. Paul did that. As Paul went on his missionary journey, sometimes he took one person with him, Barnabas, going along with him. Sometimes there would be two or three, Barnabas and Timothy, or Barnabas and Titus. But also involved with Paul, there was a much wider group. So at the end of some of his letters, you'll read a whole list of names of people who were involved, supporting, encouraging Paul in his ministry. I think that can be the same way for us. That for some of us, it will help just to get alongside one other person who we'll be able to share the deeper things, the burdens of our life with. In some traditions, that person will be called a spiritual director, someone who helps to give direction to our lives, support, encourage, and strength. For others, it'd be just a friend that they know and trust. For some, the pattern of prayer triplets has been very helpful. One person getting together with two others to share and read the scriptures and pray so that burdens are shared and lifted. And then for many here in All Souls, it's our small group systems, our fellowship groups, our beginners groups that provide this kind of focus of sharing burdens, of finding help. See, I think this verse here, when Paul says, bear one another's burdens, seems to presume that we all have burdens and that we could all share others' burdens. Yes, we do it in the small groups, but I think we do have also to remember that we don't leave it there, that the small group has to share the burdens of the large group. The small group has to be responsible to encourage and lift the wider group. The small group has to say, yes, it's our responsibility to be there at the prayer gatherings, to be there at Sunday services. The small group has to say, yes, it's our responsibility to share in the financial burden of running this place of All Souls. Because if we don't, if we just leave our fellowship, our burden sharing in the small groups, what effectively happens is that the thigh bone may be well connected, but it's not connected to the hip bone. And therefore the body limps along rather than runs along. So we need to be together. We need to be sharing, both in the small and in the large. Body active in the small and in the larger group. And then thirdly, we need to be body-minded, we need to be body-active. I think we need to be imaginative. We need to be imaginative, because the word burden, yes, it means a care, a problem. But I think we need to widen that out. Let me do it through those three situations, the one-to-one, the prayer triplets, and the fellowship groups, and see how we can be imaginative. See, if we're in the one-to-one, it's not simply a lifting off the immediate problem. Whether that's unemployment, whether it's needing a new flat, whether it's a temptation, whatever it is, it's not simply being concerned with that immediate problem, but of setting down good and strong foundations for Christian living, of seeing us going forward in Jesus Christ. And that needs to be a much more general and long-term and imaginative burden, if you like. I find it interesting that Paul begins chapter 6 with this burden of someone being overtaken in a sin. Someone being found out in something that they've done wrong. And what does he say? You who are spiritual should restore him. That's a burden I don't think too many of us would want to take on. Pointing out to someone the sin, their fault, their error, and restoring them. Indeed, some would say, well, you know, that's wrong. We're told not to throw stones at people. We're told not to see the speck in our brother's eye because of the great beam in our own eye. But with David Turner last week, we were looking at the need when a brother or sister sins against us to go to that one person to talk about that sin, that fault, and to find restoration. And Paul is saying the same here. If anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. But note the small print. In a spirit of gentleness. It has to be a spiritual person. It has to be done in a spirit of gentleness. And yes, look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. We need to look to ourselves, to be aware of our own possibility of failure. And then he carries that on in verse 4 when he says, let each person test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself and on his neighbour. We need to test our own work to see that our lives stand up against the plumb line of God's standard. But we shouldn't use those as excuses for failing to see the need to encourage each other to purity of lifestyle. And that does mean sometimes pointing out to friends around us the sin, the fault that is in them, and helping them to be restored. That's a wider burden that we can carry, especially in one-to-one situations. Then moving on to the prayer triplets. They began in connection with Mission England, with evangelistic outreach. And all of us ought to be concerned for the spreading of the gospel. And I'm sure all of us do have people that we're concerned about. People who we are quite literally burdened to see become Christians. And what better place to share that burden than in that kind of prayer triplet? Sharing it with two or three friends, praying over, praying regularly together for members of our families, for friends who we are concerned about to see enter into the kingdom of God. Now, some take their burden to share the gospel outside the country or into very difficult situations, and I find it very encouraging that the fellowship groups are linked in with missionaries and praying regularly for people like Marjorie Press out there in the Horn of Africa, in a very difficult situation. Or Mark Shuri in his work with students. But there are others, like Simon Park and his team up at the clubhouse, in a very difficult situation. That's a burden that people are carrying that we, in our smaller groups, can bear and lift off them. That we need to be imaginative when we think about burden bearing. It's not just listening to someone's problems. It's looking much wider than that and seeing the concerns and the work of the fellowship and saying, yes, I am involved. We are involved. Let us together bear this burden, whether it be the clubhouse, the finances, service of others overseas. Bear one another's burdens. Now you may feel that even as we talk about it, almost a great burden resting on your shoulders. You may feel almost borne down with this weight of thinking about bearing someone else's burdens. I can't do it. But it shouldn't be presented to us. It shouldn't rest upon us as a burden. That's not how Paul viewed it. Paul viewed it as part of living in the Spirit of God. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit, bear one another's burdens. And Jesus didn't present it like that. Jesus pointed out the scribes and the Pharisees who bind people with heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. And that's that burden word twice, who bind them with heavy burdens, hard to bear. He used that oppressive word twice. He encouraged people so burdened to come to him that he would lift off that burden of the law, lift off the burden of having to do something because someone else tells me to, and placing upon people a yoke that is light, a yoke that is easy, a yoke that enables us to carry the things that come to us. A yoke which is found in Jesus Christ. A yoke which is based upon the inner dwelling of God's Spirit. So that we live a life of love, able to carry our own responsibility, but also able to bear one another's burdens, not out of a sense of ought, but out of a sense of inner willingness. Inner willingness to get alongside, to be part of a fellowship, to be one in love with my brother and sister who has needs, willing to share my needs, my burdens with them, that they can come alongside me and lift up me and share my burdens. if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you that you are able to bear all of our burdens. Thank you that indeed your shoulders are so great, that you lift us up onto those shoulders, and so often you carry us. Thank you for your body that surrounds us. Help us to learn what it means to be the body of Christ. Help us to live as the body of Christ, encouraging, lifting, building each other up, so that we might present here in All Souls to the world at large the truth of the gospel, not in word, but in deed. And this we ask to your honour and glory. Amen.